I knew I was losing her.
Excuse me. Have you seen my wife?
I don't think she wants to see you anymore.
What?
Sarah!
Don't touch my car again. I'm going. That's not the kind of touching I meant.
Jock, he stole my wife. Can you arrest him?
Sometimes it's better just to accept these things.
Batman, Batarang, pipe bombs, utility belt.
Utility belt.
Green Arrow has a bow and arrow.
Okay.
Why do you need all those?
I'm making up my own superhero.
He needs a weapon.
That'll do.
Cool.
All it takes to be a superhero is the choice to fight evil.
Shut up, crime.
Don't steal! Don't deal drugs! Don't molest kids!
Brutal assault by the Crimson Bolt continued last night.
Shoot him.
No.
That's cool.
I could be your kid's sidekick. Ta-da! How do I look?
That's inappropriate.
Frank is the only thing that will save me. We will take those suckers down.
That's good.
Let's do this. You just sit here and wait for crime to happen?
That's right.
This is so boring!
Yes, I can tell you now he's looking for
me! You're supposed to kill him!
I'm just learning! You have to teach me these things!
This is not about good and evil. This is about she loved me more because I am interesting!
Crimson Bolt!
Welcome, people. Excuse my voice. To another edition of Throwback Tuesday, episode 26. I'm your host, the phenomenal one, WeSportsPodcast.com.
Z, thefancritic.com.
And people, we're here to bring you another glorious, momentous episode of Throwback Tuesday. By the way, it is Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving, all the spoiling bastards out there.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to you guys, and especially happy Thanksgiving to the Indians out there. We rule you.
Yeah, and happy Thanksgiving happy Black Friday to all the people out there that's about to trample and kill everybody. So,
yeah, let's get ready for that Black Friday.
Yeah, get ready for Black Friday Day. Friday Day, yeah. Actually, it's going to be Black Thursday this week.
it's 6, I think, 6 or 8?
Yeah, 6 o'clock is starting for every goddamn store out there, whatever.
That's crazy.
Do you ever do Black Friday?
I never been to Black Friday. I want to experience it just once, just to say I have. The closest I got to, I went to Walmart last Thanksgiving at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And there was no lines or nothing. They just had everything set up.
You know, I was just going to ask you about that, so... Me being in L.A., you know, the bigger city compared to Ohio, is it as crowded as it is out there?
There has been issues, with especially at a Best Buy or a Walmart, that there's been fights and stuff. But
yeah.
My ex-wife used to work on Black Fridays at Walmart, and she said they were hell.
That had to be the worst day ever to work. That's not like the worst day to work for anybody is Black Friday.
After Christmas, because you got the returns and shit.
Yeah. They trash those stores, though. Like, they trash the outside of the stores. They trash the inside of the stores. I mean, that has to be the worst fucking day to work. They better be paying those people double time for those days.
I think they get some type of bonus pay.
Man, they have to. Shit, to be up all day. All they're doing is ringing up shit all day or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, those lines be long as shit or whatever.
If I had the money to go, I would do it, but... No, not yet. I want to experience at least once.
Do you want anything? It's like,
well, for Xbox One, yeah, but...
Nuts.
Oh, wait, shut. Are you cool?
Yeah, you can say that quick. People, I'm actually recording this from my...
X1.
Yeah, I can say Xbox One. It ain't gonna shut off, whatever, because I'm not asking it. I'm not commanding it to do anything, whatever, because people last night was the... Movie spoilers, Long Beach Comic Con or after party thing or whatever, and my ass had to be up early because I had a screening this morning. And actually, you know what? I got to go to another screening today. This show won't be short, but I'll be checking the time, whatever. But I got no time, whatever to do.
Yeah, I gotta go somewhere too. So
yeah, I gotta go see Frozen and then in like 2 hours or whatever, so I should be good. But yeah, I'm recording, so I just got lazy and just like hopped in front of the TV and just said Xbox on, Xbox announcer.
Xbox suck my dick.
I gotta tell you, it's pretty goddamn convenient. I'm telling you, man, that's some convenient shit for my ass, whatever. Especially when, you know, you got like shit like that, you don't feel like, you know, you gotta charge your laptop and shit like that. You gotta turn the motherfucker on, put your headset on, and your microphone and all that, whatever. It's like, it's a lot easier. Cause how do I sound right now? Sound good, right?
You sound perfect. You actually sound better than you did before. Maybe that's just Xbox.
Man, I'm telling you, this thing is gonna be a freaking, I recorded a video of me jerking off, right? And I did commentary.
You would.
Yeah, and I did commentary on it, too. I'm going to upload it, guys, later. So check on YouTube at themoviesposepage.com or whatever, and you'll see an uploaded video of me commentating of how I did it and everything. but no, I love my new Xbox.
I can't wait to get it, and I'm excited for it. So, but I'm so busy, it's pointless to get it right now.
Yeah.
So
I think I'm just having more fun playing with the features than I am the
the
game. Because I went to the Xbox launch party and I won 2 games
there.
So I won a Dead Rising 3 and a Battlefield 4.
Oh, fucking nice!
Yeah, I beat these guys in a Battlefield 4 competition or whatever, and a Dead Rising competition or whatever.
Nice.
It was a badass party. Dead Mouse was performing there and everything. It was cool.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, they went all out. You should have seen me as later in the night as I'm drinking, whatever, just fucking with the Xbox. Just jumping in front of the camera. Xbox on! it was a pretty badass party, though. Microsoft knows how to throw a little shindig.
That's cool. So you've been in the Sony release and the Microsoft release, correct?
Yeah, which I'm shocked I got invited to the Microsoft release. I mean, it was easy to get the Sony release, obviously, but, you know. Microsoft... They probably just wanted to invite me because of hey, we'll show you guys whatever. And you know what? They were real sport about that too, because you know how PS4 or Sony has been like at E3 was kind of shitting on Microsoft, whatever.
Yeah.
And Microsoft at the party was just like, we want to congratulate Sony for releasing their console, but here's our console. They were really
professional.
Yeah, they were professional to say the least. It made it feel like, hey, man, we ain't worried about no goddamn.
Yeah.
Also, we've already sold. How many people bought one here? Everybody raising. Everybody. It was like, oh, that's what we thought.
But so let's get into the movie since we're both on a time crunch.
Yeah. Let's get into the movie.
Our first shutout in the poll.
That's right. Yeah.
it's either my movie gets like destroyed in the votes or they get like it's just horrible.
It was 20-something votes or whatever, and I think all of them went to, Super at the time, whatever.
Super.
Super.
First time I've ever seen this.
Feeling super right now. Like, Ozzy.
Shut up, crime.
This is a true and true, like, if you really want to do a comic book movie and not really want to have studios behind you, like, oh, we got to make this PG-13 to get the audience in, we got to sell money or a big budget or whatever, this is a true and true comic book film here as far as, like, following a comic book procedure or whatever, because the shit that was just happening here, I was just like, man, this is some comic book ridiculousness right here.
This wasn't a comic book, was it?
No.
So, this really came off as a little bit of Kick-Ass to me.
Yeah, it was. I think it came out right after Kick-Ass.
2010.
It was right the same year, actually. Yeah, it was end of the year is when Kick-Ass came out.
Well, this got national release was 2011. Film Festival in 2010. Mm-hmm. Only played in 11 theaters, and I asked you about that, too. And you said, yeah, there was not a lot of theaters that showed this.
You know, it played on... it was almost like a straight-to-TV thing, because it played on the IFC channel. I don't know if you've heard of that channel.
Yes, I have. I have IFC.
Okay, so yeah, this is like it's an IFC film. IFC.
So it's kind of like MTV has their own studio, IFC has their own.
Yeah, sort of like that, whatever. MTV has their own studio, IFC has their own studio, and this was an IFC production or whatever. And I was like, wow, I'm shocked that they got people like Ellen Page and Kevin Bacon and even Rain Wilson in there.
Well, from what I read, that Bacon was like, he got the part like the last second. The guy that got the role of Jacques kind of like kept flaking out on him. So James Gunn brought in Bacon, I think they're friends, and Bacon agreed to it. Bacon didn't have a big part. He wasn't in a lot, but this was pretty much...
He was gold.
He was. He's a very entertaining bad guy.
He's a slimy little bastard.
RIPD.
He was the best thing of RIPD.
He's a very good... he's an underrated actor. Now.
He's a good villain, too.
Yeah, he's a fun villain.
Because he was in X-Men First Class as well, and he really was good at
that. Oh, he was an excellent villain in that. That was a great movie, too. But he played an excellent villain.
He played a serious villain in that one, in Super. He played kind of like the comical, slimy little, someone you could have a beer-type villain with or whatever. You know, he was pretty cool overall. I was just like, I like that guy a lot. He first gets introduced, he's like, what you cooking in there? I guess with those eggs.
How weird was that? This is the first time these two ever met. What are you making? Can I have some?
It's funny because when he knocked on the door, I was like, that's the villain. And he's like, man, God's grace you with the gift of making eggs, man.
And he goes, are these those brown eggs?
He's like, I don't know what the fuck those are, but he's like, man.
And was this James Gunn's first directing? Slither.
Yeah,
Slither.
I was gonna say Slither is his first. I was gonna say, did he direct or produce? I was gonna say, that was the first one.
So Slither was the first. This had really weird camera angles and shaky cams when it didn't need it. But the story was cool, and I could not imagine Ellen Page doing this shit.
Alright, this is where I said, I did not know Ellen Page had so much range in her.
Dude, she was fun.
Because she always plays kind of the, I don't want to say serious, or almost the serious type kind of order. And in this one, she looked like she was having so much fun just letting loose in this role.
She looked hot, too, in that costume.
Oh my gosh, she did. She felt like she didn't get typecasted. I hate to say that about her because I don't think she gets typecast at all, but it almost felt like the way she was acting in this film, she felt like she wasn't being typecasted and she was able to be let loose or whatever. But goddamn, does she look hot. And I remember when a movie came out, I saw an interview with them. All of them, they only did this for like a couple thousand dollars or whatever.
Budget was 2.5.
They only did this for like, I want to say 10,000 each or something, or 5,000. It was like 5,000, I think, or whatever. And there was an interview with all of them. They just said, you know, we didn't really do this for the money or whatever.
Yeah, and Ellen Page was already a star at this point. She wasn't like, you know, she's known for a lot of indie movies, but she's done X-Men Last Stand, Juno. I want to say Inception was released or was done.
Yeah, came out like...
A few months later.
2 months before this came out.
Yeah, so she was already a name, but she loves indie movies. She's an indie actress, like kind of like how we did who the girl from Dawn of the Dead, Sarah Polley.
Oh, Sarah Polley. Okay.
She's gonna be an indie.
Oh yeah. Well, what's her name? Ellen Page. I mean, she's Canadian. Obviously, she's always at the Toronto Film Festival, or whatever the Indian films there or whatever and shit like that.
She is so small.
Yeah, it was funny when she was making fun of short people. Whatever. I was like, you ain't really that tall.
I mean, and her chemistry with Rainn Wilson was good. I mean, she was like the, you know, the calm one, and she was just going crazy.
Yeah, she was like, she was almost a damn sociopath towards the end, right?
Yeah, she was crazy, especially when they went up to that guy's house that keyed her friend's car, or she thinks keyed. She was gonna kill that motherfucker.
She fucked him up with that face, though. Like, his face was just like, you know what, for the budget one here or whatever, I gotta say, that part where most of the blood shots looked pretty damn good, and even the last action scene or whatever, I looked pretty good too.
That must have been a lot of the budget right there, that last scene at the house.
Yeah, because a lot of them are just pretty much shot backs of same areas and shit like that or whatever, so I'm assuming that's where probably that last budget, and just to pay the actors or whatever.
Oh, it was, that was sweet, though.
How about a plot synopsis, though, Z, before we...
Plot synopsis, Super, directed by James Gunn, starring Rainn Wilson, Ellen Page, Liv Tyler, Kevin Bacon, came out in 2011, budget 2.5, box office was $327,000. Super is about a short order cook, Frank Darbo. Is that how you pronounce the name, Darbo?
Yeah, you got it right.
Rainn Wilson, who his wife leaves. She's a recovering alcoholic, druggie. And he pretty much is her rock. And she leaves him for Jacques, who's a strip club owner and a drug dealer, played by Kevin Bacon. And then...
he's got the great Michael Rooker working for him.
Yes. And I love Michael Rooker.
I love Michael Rooker.
He's underrated. He's underrated, too.
Yeah, he's the lovable racist.
He is.
Actually, no, he's not. I wouldn't say he's underrated. He's got a lot of work coming up.
He gets a lot of work, but he's never a star in a movie.
He will be in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, so... Frank has a vision of from a Holy Avenger from a public access TV show saying that Touch of God gave him a superhero.
The Holy Avengers wish, she was hot too.
Oh, that girl in the show?
Yeah, the girl in the show, whatever.
I love that end when they said, when they were like the about having premarital sex with the devil and all that stuff, and that guy's wearing SMM stuff, and he goes, I should take these nipple rings off tomorrow, and the camera pans down and just focuses on the nipples. I'm like, oh, that's weird.
Black as shit. I was like, damn, don't make nipples no more. But that girl looked definitely hot in that red dress. She was the one.
Ooh, yeah, she did. I thought that was that Linda Cardinelli who played Velma.
I had to look her up, too, because I was like, is that? I was like, that girl is fucking hot.
But yeah, I thought that was Velma from Scooby-Doo at Linda Cardinelli, but she was the pet store owner.
God, or whatever. Yeah, but yeah, go ahead. Continue.
But he gets a touch of God, and he turns into this crime fighter called Crimson Bolt, who beats people up with a wrench. And then Ellen Page plays Libby, which is a comic book hero, or a comic book clerk, and she joins forces with him, and they try to save Frank's wife from the evil Jacques. Or Jock. They call him Jock.
I like how he spelled his name, too, when he was trying to show us a police report. He was just like, Jock. He spelled it J-O-C-K.
If you, I watched it, I turned the subtitles on, and that's how it said, as it kept saying Jock, like Jockstrap.
Yeah, you know, I was like, you know, it's like French, like the J-A-C version, right?
Like, I'm like, oh, okay.
I almost took Rainn Wilson as a mental idiot in this, because the way he...
I did, too.
Because you remember he was just like, the movie opens up with, I think we could talk about this movie's only an hour and a half, but I think there's so many great parts in it that we can just bring up. Like, the opening part is like him talking about his perfect moments in life, and he's like, one, I got married, and the other one, you went in there, officer! he's just excited about that, and I'm just like, what the fuck?
I kind of think this ending's a downer. Do you feel that's kind of a downer?
Oh yeah, definitely, or whatever, I saying that when the movie first came out, I was just like, it wasn't a really happy end. It was a bittersweet ending in a way.
He seemed fine with what happened at the end, but you can see when he was looking at the pictures, because he drew the pictures because he said he wants to see him every time he wakes up for inspiration. And at the end, he's got his whole wall filled with pictures that he's done. And one of them stuff with Libby, and you know, you can see that he was crying because he got a rabbit as a pet.
Yeah, he had that single teardrop fall over his eye, whatever. I mean, because, well, we'll get into that later, what happens at the end or whatever. But, the first 15 minutes is just set up of how his wife is just getting back into drugs and stuff like that, and Kevin Bacon. Man, when that guy gets introduced, I was like, this guy is hamming it up like a motherfucker. Like,
you can tell he had fun with it.
That egg scene, man. That went on for like a good 3 minutes. Am I not lying?
Then he's like, tell Sarah Jacques came. I'm like, you guys were just sitting there this whole time? You never introduced yourself?
But the thing is, I was just like, damn, you just walk in another man's house, talk about his wife, and eat his eggs. I'm like, that's some bullshit right here. And
she left him to go with him, and he thinks she got kidnapped, and he went to that cop, who he goes... So how'd you know she was leaving? Her closet was gone. So he forced her, he kidnapped her and emptied her closet? Yes.
He's like, we just come to an agreement that she left you, whatever. So he goes visit Jocks and shit, Jocks at the club, whatever. He's like, Jock, you don't remember me? He's like, oh yeah, you're the guy with the brown eggs, yeah.
And I...
It's like he didn't even pay attention. He didn't even remember him at all. It's like, man, you went in his man's house, ate his fucking eggs, and you don't even remember the motherfucker.
And I love the second time he went when he did see Sarah... But he blocked him off, and he started beating on the car. He goes, Kevin Bacon's just, he was just fun with us. He goes, you don't know who I am. If you touch my car again, it's going to be bad. Then he just puts one finger on it and he goes, that's not what I meant.
He's like, I'm just going to let that slide because that's not what I meant. Get out of here.
That was funny. I mean, this is a dark comedy. Do you consider it a dark comedy?
Oh, hell yeah. It's a dark comedy.
I think it's really good. I mean, it's funny when he turns into Crimson Bowl.
It's even more funnier. Like, at the beginning, it's kind of almost sad funny in a way. It's kind of like, just like, dude, just let it go. It's sad that you're trying to do this and you get beat up again. But then when he gets the touch of God, which I thought was it was a hentai scene, pretty much.
when he ripped out and all those tentacles came in.
Like, remember I think the bed sheets was holding him down. And
then yeah.
The tentacles came in and then a finger. But you know who played God, right?
Nathan Fillion.
No. It was Rob Zombie was the voice of God.
Oh, no, I did not know that. I know Nathan Fillion or whatever played Holy Avenger.
Yeah, he played the Holy Avenger.
Oh, yeah, I see it right now. Rob Zombie, God. Okay, cool.
Rob Zombie was the voice of God. Or not.
That's an oxymoron right there. That's why it
was funny. And then, like, apparently it's like this scene where his head comes off and he touches his brain or whatever shit. I was like,
What was that? Why did they clean the brain? Was it like kind of like a sanitizer moment? Like, the brain's got to be clean?
Remember he talking about, he's like, oh, I've heard, he's like, I've had spiritual moments like this before. And then, like, when he first met his wife, whatever, he heard a voice just go, marry her.
Yeah, and he says his mom said he has zones out.
He said he saw Jesus just hanging on his wall.
Yeah, I don't remember what he said, what Jesus said on the wall. Something about, why do people get upset or rare, stupid things or something like that?
He said don't sweat it or some shit like that, or it's no big deal or something like that, whatever. And another one was his father was beating his ass for having magazines and shit like that.
Yeah. But you know the cool thing about this movie, about how Rainn Wilson got the part? Did you know how he got the part?
Facts about this movie or whatever. I've seen it first came out.
James Gunn was married to Jenna Fisher from The Office, and she read the script, and she thought Rainn Wilson would have been perfect for it, and she gave it to him, and he accepted it, like, after reading, like, 5 pages.
He had, like, the most psychotic look. I remember there's a scene, I don't know, we're jumping. Once he gets become the Crimson Bolt, which is funny because he's practicing, shut up, crime! Shut up, the Crimson Bolt here. But there's like a montage scene of him when he gets his weapon and he drops that brick on that dude's head.
And the funny thing,
you see the smile on his face, how sadistic it looked. He was just like,
it was a creepy smile. The funny thing is when he first attacked the one black drug dealer, they fall and he didn't get him, and then he got the weapon. He got a wrench.
Did you hear what those the dudes that bought the drugs from? It's like, oh, dude, it's just popsicle sticks. Yes.
And then the second time he does another drug deal, he looks up, he goes, oh, fuck. And he gets hit right in the head with the wrench. And then he runs away, he drops the wrench, picks it up like nothing happened.
Remember, he threw a smoke bomb down.
Oh, yeah. And they're just looking at him like, what the fuck? And he just runs away. He gets in his car and drives off.
It was like a fucking cheap firecracker smoke bomb.
Yeah,
that's when the best montage in movie history happens. It's just him walking in slow motion or whatever, and they're playing that music in the background of him, and he's just yelling, shut up, crying. He's like beating, like this dude, this chick in a wheelchair is getting robbed, and he's about to run away, but then the dude's like, oh shit, and then he just get tackled by the dude.
And she knocks over the girl in the wheelchair.
And Rainn Wilson just gets on top of him and just starts beating the fuck out of him with that wrench.
How did he not kill someone? Especially the guy that cut it in line. You saw it hit him right in the forehead, and it just cracks open.
For all we know, he did die from loss of blood.
And I love that he's waiting in line because his co-worker wants to take him to the movies.
Yeah.
So he's waiting in line, and then people cut in, and he stands up for him. Then he goes.
What shit was that, though? Did you see that, though? How they just cut it in front of line?
Yeah, that was kind of stupid.
He just pushed his girlfriend, like, right in front of the chick, and the chick behind him was like, oh, it's good. Oh. And then he was just, and it was funny because of how it was delivered. It's, like, straight out of a comic book. The guy behind Rainn Wilson was just like, why do people have to cut in line? We've been waiting here for hours. I was just like, he's reading that like he's reading a book. And then Rainn Wilson was like, hey, no buts. And then the do is like, go fuck yourself. Fuck yourself. and he goes across the street and changes in his car.
In the back seat, and you see his ass hanging out, and you see a little girl like, Mommy, look.
And it's funny because the dude and Lonnie's just like, dude, you're not fooling anyone. I just saw you across the street, and he just slaps the shit out of him. And then he hits his girlfriend. Because she's like, get off of him, get off. And then he just swings a back arm back at him and just went, ugh.
That was like a pimp slap with a wrench.
I like when he first, when he first meets Libby, though, and then he's like, I need a weapon. And then he buys all these books on weapons and shit, superheroes without, that uses weapons because they don't have powers, bro. And his first choice is that wrench, and he just smashes a melon open with it. He's like, perfect.
And, you know, then there's news reports about him, and, you know, then we find out that he, everyone he's got was, you know, was a criminal.
Yeah, it was funny because the news lied. He's 6'5", muscular.
It's funny, they showed the picture of him on the news, and it looked nothing like him, but the newspaper looked exactly like him.
They had him all built, and his neck was thick and shit. I was just like, damn. Who are these sketch artists?
Yeah, and then Libby finds out after Frank gets shot.
That was a funny scene when he got shot because... he goes, breaks into Kevin Bacon's, he's like spying on them as they're doing drugs, and they're testing this new drug out on his ex or his wife or whatever, and like he sees like them as demons and she is an angel and shit, and they're like kissing or whatever, and then he just gets angry with her, and he just throws the wrench in the window and hits Michael Rooker with it, and all you hear Michael Rooker is go, ow! And then he says, what does he say?
He says, shut up, crime. I think
so. Shut up, crime? Oh, yeah, face the wrath of the Crimson Bolt.
Yeah, and that one guy's like, that was Sarah's husband.
And then they pull out guns, and he just runs.
Then he gets shot in the ass, right? Or shot in the thigh? Shot
in the leg, whatever. Right in the leg, whatever. It was funny just to see that scene, though, because, like, he's like, he throws that wrench in there like a badass, and they pull out guns, and he looks at that and just goes, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
They don't have a Amazing Spider-Man moment where he sees a gun and he tries to fight the guy.
Yeah.
That's stupid. That was a real reaction. You run. You run when you see guns.
Yeah, and then he finally shows his identity to Libby, who wants to join with him, as numerous names. She came up with a lot of names.
It was funny because she was like, Human Torch had Toro, and then she was trying to like, what the fuck is a Toro?
And what the fuck's a Robin?
And he was like, Robin's a bird. What the fuck does a Robin got to do with a bat?
It's loyal.
Loyal.
That was funny. I like the chemistry between Paige and Wilson.
It was funny as fuck, whatever. And, oh my god, when she, the next morning when Ryan Wilson was like, trying to work out his leg and shit like that, because she stitches him up and shit. And it was just... When she came out that costume and she started posing, even I went like, damn.
She was feeling herself up and everything. I'm like, Ellen Page is hot regardless, but god damn.
Yeah, exactly. She's like gorgeous or whatever, but she never did anything like this. So in here, she was just sexy. Like, I was like...
Especially later on when she pretty much rapes him.
Oh, yeah, she did. Rainn Wilson said the perfect thing. That's inappropriate. When she started like building herself and posing and shit, that's inappropriate. I was just like, it's very inappropriate.
Yeah, and like that's like a different Ellen Page I've ever seen before.
I've never seen Ellen Page act like this. I didn't know she had range like this at all.
No, but she was funny with it. I mean, it wasn't over the top, but she was funny with it.
Played like everybody fit in this world that it was set in.
Yeah, it was.
There's a funny scene, like the scene where they go wait for, like, she's like, let's go catch some bad guys or whatever, and then she's like, I'm ready to fight crime, and just waiting behind the trash can. She's like, this is what you do all day? He's like, yeah, I just wait for crime, you know, it comes to me.
And she's like, this is boring. You go, we gotta go find criminals.
Yeah, like, this guy that keyed a fucking Volkswagen Jetta, okay.
And I'm like, and she's like, she just bought that car, and then she's about to kill me. Go, are you sure it's him? I think it was him.
And then we get the scene where she saves him by running over this dude.
Yeah, they're getting gas because she gets fired. Quote he and the two guys at the gas station work for Kevin Bacon, and they chase him and beat him up. And then she drives the car and runs one guy over, and the other guy gets shot in the shoulder, I think.
No, she shot him in the chest, dude. He shot his ass in the chest. It was funny because he had his eyes closed when he shot up. He's just like,
ugh! And she just gets out of the car and starts cussing, like, you motherfucking cocksucker, how's it feel? You're not going to be able to walk anymore.
It was funny because the old people were, like, nodding their heads, like, yeah, that's right. And then the one chick with the kid, she was covering her daughter's ears up.
Yes.
And it was funny because the child started waving at Ellen Page, and she waved back at her. She was like,
ugh! Yeah, and then a really cool line, it goes about superheroes, about the comics, and Ray Moss does a cool line about in between the panels.
Oh, yeah, I was close to. I think there was even a cool line when he first met Ellen Page's character, too, when she read something out of the Holy Avenger book or whatever.
Oh, yeah, it was. I can't remember the line, but yeah.
I can't remember the line needed to. It said it doesn't take a costume to be a hero or something like that, just doing everyday things or some shit like that, whatever.
Yeah.
It was something like that. I was like, yeah, they made a lot of good phrases here to comic books right here. I mean, without being an actual, like, superhero film of, like, the ones we know, Thor, Spider-Man, all those usual whatever, this is a well-done comic book adaptation, actually, as far as, like, being a straight adaptation of a book, even though it's not even of a book.
Yeah, I mean, they even showed the Holy Avenger comic book, and that looked like shit.
That looked like some 1960 fucking Amazing Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends shit, or whatever.
Yeah.
You remember when he first looked up the Holy Avenger, you heard of the fat comic book dude over there? What a fucking cunt.
Yeah, that was, yeah. And there you go, here, hold this asshole to that little kid. I'm like, kids are assholes in movies, so I agree with you on that one.
Now, you know what, man, as far as, like you bring up the technical, like, the shaky cam and all that stuff, there's a lot of, like, shit in here that's noticeable, like, far as technical-wise, whatever. I can forgive it for the low budget, but at the same time, I can forgive it just because the actors sold the film to me.
They did.
This is my definition of dumb fun for me.
Oh, yeah. That's a perfect definition for this.
Even though it's done very clever in some parts, whatever, it's no logic to it or anything like that. It's just something, if you saw on TV, whatever, you would laugh your ass off.
This, I do compare it to Kick-Ass to the fact that it's normal guy, you know.
Everybody compared it to Kick-Ass.
It's just like their stepsister type thing. Like their step.
A lot of people said this was better than Kick-Ass. They said it
was as a story-wise, yeah, I would say so.
Okay, I was going to ask you that, because a lot of people said it was better than Kick-Ass and more realistic or whatever. I was like, well, yeah, it's a little more realistic than Kick-Ass.
Oh, yeah, it is, because, you know, Kick-Ass had Hit-Girl with him, and that was pretty much the crime fight, and Big Daddy. That was pretty much who was doing all the work. And then this one, Rainn Wilson did it all.
Well, and to say that Super is more realistic, if anything, because I had this talk with somebody or whatever. I was just like, one came first than the other, and the other one was based off a comic book. Second of all, one is more Hollywood than the other.
Yes. This is, you can tell this is independent.
Mm-hmm. They had liberties to take chances. I mean, granted, they took chances in Kick-Ass 2, whatever, still, but it was still released worldwide in theaters or whatever. So, you know, obviously they want to make money or whatever. And this one, it, like you said, it's independent, it's limited, they didn't give a shit. I mean, they just made it, like all the actors in here said, we made it just because it was fun to do, or whatever. You know?
Oh, yeah, this looks like it was a blast to do.
Oh, yeah, if I had to pick one movie I wanted to be, it would definitely have been this, if I was a main character or whatever, because it looked like everybody was just having a good, I would have did it for free, to be honest. That's
awesome. Oh, yeah. This was Ray Wilson's, I think, first starring role in a movie. So, yeah, if I was him, I would have took anything, because he was in The House of Thousand Corpse.
Mm-hmm. He was on TV before this.
Yeah, he was, he did the voice in Monsters vs. Aliens, but that's, voice doesn't count as acting, in my opinion.
I wouldn't say that now, but
he was in Juno, too, but this was his big major role.
Probably gonna get a lot of hate for saying voice don't count for acting.
As opposed to live acting?
Yeah, probably harder, actually.
Okay.
What do you want, switching your voice up and shit? That's pretty hard, or just doing fucking, standing there and just being yourself, pretty much, playing a character. You gotta be involved with the animation. It's a lot harder.
Okay, well, okay. I, you know, my mistake.
You're gonna get a lot of shit for that now.
Probably.
Okay. Now, the badass, oh wait, first of all, yeah, get to the Ellen Page raping him.
That was fucked up.
That's hot, dude. What are you talking about?
I know. I wasn't expecting. That's why I said fucked up. Okay. She wanted to make out with him. He goes, I'm married. And then
you're my kid's sidekick, even though you're 22.
Yeah, and she even looked like a kid. She looked like she was like 16. Maybe that's the appeal for Ellen Page, because she looks so young.
I was going to say, you know what, it doesn't matter anyway, because he did come. So, technically, he got his.
But she just pretty much raped him. She wanted to have sex with Crimson Bolt, not Frank.
Yeah, she found the superhero life hot. She didn't find him hot, so she found this crime-fighting shit. She found that to be intriguing. It feels like she was one of those girls that was stuck in that shop that needed some adventure in her life.
Yeah, and she pretty much comes in the room while he's sleeping, wanting to fight crime in her outfit, and pretty much feeling herself up, and, you know, saying she's wet, and...
My God, you just turned me on right there. As soon as you said that scene just popped up back, and I was like... She was biting her lip and shit, dude, and the camera was zooming in on her. I was just like, all right, man, James Gunn, you're a fucked up individual right now. You trying to give niggas blue balls and shit right now. She was biting her lip, rubbing on herself, and I was just looking. And then even Rainn Wilson, he had his hands over his eyes. He even opened them up for a little bit and just looked, and I was just like... And then she got on top of him and put the mask on, and she just... got on time and started riding, and I was just like, why am I getting turned on right now?
But,
damn, that was hot. And then next thing, he throws her off of her, and he goes throw up. I was like, oh, you pussy, suck it up. And then, the vomit turns into Sarah, his wife, and then he's just like, we gotta go save her.
And that's a really bad reaction to have sex with Ellen Page and then puke.
My reaction would have been like, you wanna do it again?
I would, too.
I'd be like, I put the whole costume on if you want this time. And then she's like, oh, I'm not ready, whatever. By the way, he makes bombs and shit like that too.
I love their little thing at the when they walk into the a gun store.
She throws a West Side at him.
That was funny. That's why I think she had a blast doing this.
It looked like a bunch of like old white Republicans is working at this place, whatever. They walk in slow motion, they look at the old people, and the old people looking at them like, the fuck are they doing here? And she throws a West Side at them and shit. And they walk slow motion. And like, this dude ran into Ellen Page while she was pushing the basket, and she grabbed that machete out and butt stabbed his ass.
And they even, she was playing with a gun. Was it a gun or a machete? And then he takes it from her.
It was a gun. It was like a pink little pink.
And he gives her a bazooka. Yeah,
it was like a pink little BB shooter, and he hands her a bazooka.
Like, enough. They didn't use that bazooka at all.
They probably got to the cashier and said, wow, that cost that much? Okay.
And the funny thing is, you know, they got the guns pretty much right away. There's not like a waiting period.
Well, the thing was, they never really used guns.
No, they didn't.
Only gun they used was that one that Rainn Wilson had in his back or whatever, which was that little mini shooter. So I don't even think they necessarily bought guns. I think they bought mainly like those blades, the vests, and just the shit that make the weapons that they use or whatever. Because Rainn Wilson had like this projectile fucking blade disc thing in his arm or whatever. And then she was like, what's this? He was like, bombs. Hopefully I'm doing it right. I was like, I don't think you should take chances then if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, that was kind of cool, you know, all the stuff they were doing to get at it, you know, but...
The last, I want to say 20 minutes of the action scene kicked in, that was so much fucking fun, dude. I was just like, I had a blast just watching that on screen, where I was like cheering and jumping and just like, yeah, it's like, shut up, crime!
Yeah, that's when they stormed the house and...
Ellen Page jumped out that tree and stabbed that... Dude, she just kept going at it, and then she was, like, laughing as she was done. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's funny. He goes to distract the guy. He says, like, in a little whiny voice to disguise his voice, hey, asshole, you know, like that. I'm like, okay.
I got a dude look so weird. He's like, the fuck? Hey, asshole, come over here.
And she just jumps out of a... She jumps out of a tree and just... She's got, like, Wolverine claws. Or, yeah, it was Wolverine claws, wasn't it? And
it was just longer.
And she's just going, just having a real fun time doing that.
Fucked up fun time, yeah, doing it. And I like the next voice he tried to sky. Hi, I'm a little birdie. Hey. The dude turns around and walks towards it, and he trips. Like, he falls in, like, gasoline or whatever. And then all you see is Rainn Wilson on one knee just looking at him. And he lights a match.
Then goes and stabs his ass. I'm like, the guy's already dying. And then he just goes, like, fuck, I'm going to kill you again.
I like how they showed that, though. He walked over slow on him, though. Everyone was just like... I was just like... That had me in tears of laughter, because they show you, like, a different angle of how this shot, whatever. He just walks up on him. I was like, he's already on his knees burning and shit. Like, and then one guy comes out, and then he's like, hey, you're that idiot from the fucking TV, right? And she turned, Ellen Page turned around, throws the bomb at him, and he just fucking blows up. And then, like, they show, like, the comic book I'm up here thing where it just says, bam.
That was cool that they did that.
Yeah, that was real cool. And she's fucking jumping up and cheering, and the next, you know, these guys, these three black guys come out and just shoot both her and Rainn Wilson, whatever. And he got shot with he had the bulletproof vest on, and then when he goes to look at Ellen Page's character, her whole face was blown off.
Were you surprised that she died?
I first saw it, yeah.
I was too.
Really shocked. I was like, no.
I thought she just got shot because she had a vest on too.
Yeah.
And I thought she just got shot. And then when he turned her over, I'm like, holy shit. I really, like, seriously jumped because I was surprised.
Because her whole face was missing.
It was. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I said the same thing when I first saw it. I was like, holy fuck, dude. They blew. And then Rainn Wilson, you remember that music that kicked in the scene, whatever? Like, when he
was it after he like, sees her?
He's like yelling and shit, and his music kicks in, and he's like, ah! And he throws these two bombs, and then next thing he just walks, like, it's like, the music is like a guitar riff going, meow, meow.
Yeah, he's like a complete badass now.
Yeah, he just picks up a shotgun and just starts blowing people to play, whatever, and just doing like, kapow, blam, whammo. And then I like how Michael Rooker's character runs back in the house and talks to Kevin Bacon. What's going on out there? He's just like, it's Darvo!
and then
we forgot the one dude, the dude that Kevin Bucks to and shit like that. He's like, what's going on out there? He's like, it's just some guy out there at the Crimson Bolt. You put the goddamn Crimson Bolt on me?
They acted like the Crimson Bolt was like, well, like, they was like Batman.
They was making it seem like he was a big-time deal, though. Like, well, you know what? I guess after watching them damn TV ports, a guy's walking around in a costume beating people to death with a wrench. Yeah, I guess that is kind of a big deal. but it was just funny. Because Kevin Bacon shot that nigga, and then he was just like, I didn't mean to do that. You know that wasn't my fault right there, right? He's like, and then they started hearing Rainn Wilson's footsteps on the roof from there. He's just like... Michael Rooker's character's name Abe. He's like, God damn it, Abe, if that motherfucker gets in the house, you're so fired.
I love that. He always kept saying, he like said to like Abe, he goes, I don't mean to do that. You know what I mean to do that. And Abe just goes, yeah. He said it like three times. He did it like three times. Like, yeah.
I want to say he did like two in that scene alone, too.
Yeah, there's another one I can't believe. I think when he said you're fired, he goes, yeah. Like, you're not going
to
do shit.
There was one. It was when he talked to the black dude, too. He was just like, he's like, he's no big deal, right, Abe? He was just like, right.
That's why Rooker's a, he's a gem in a movie, so.
He really is. I mean, great death in The Walking Dead, but would love to see him continue to go because, man, the lovable racist, as I like to call him.
Yeah, that's about right.
He's the lovable, but then, Rainn Wilson attached a body to a hook line and just threw his ass into the window.
What is... Didn't it leave a say a note?
Yeah, it said, behind you. And he shot, like, Rainn Wilson's behind looking in the window and he just shot him and shit. And then he jumped in the window and just, like, started smashing Michael Rooker's head into that thing was.
Yeah, I think it was the bricks along the fireplace.
Yeah, oh, man, that was fucking brutal. I just kept hitting his head.
And his, like, oh. Then he started... Rooker's face was, like, completely blank the whole time.
I think he turned to a zombie quicker than he did in this.
Maybe. And I think he got, like, the least amount of death. Well, his death was probably, like, the easiest. Because he didn't get, like, burned or blown up or shot or stabbed or whatever.
Rather get shot, stabbed, burned, turned on fire, clawed to death, blown up, or head beaten into the...
There's like 19 people died, I guess, in this movie.
And they're by different ways, too. I don't know, but I thought Michael Rooker's death was pretty fucking brutal. I was like, I don't know if I want to go out that way, because he was still conscious those first couple of hits, and then it starts fading away slowly. He's like,
And it looks like the back of his head was smashed in, too.
Yeah, it did, too, because they showed you, like, a different angle of it, too, or whatever. And, honestly, this is the best part. I gotta say, this is probably, like, my favorite superhero part of all time, is when he meets Kevin Bacon, and Kevin Bacon throws his wife down and say, you can have her back. Oh, and by the way, I didn't do that to her face. It was that fat nigga right there.
And he goes, he's pretty much just, giving up, which is cool.
he's like, but I shot that dude, though, right there. So he's like, I'm kind of like your partner now, right? He's like, I'm kind of like and then he shoots Rainn Wilson. And Kevin Bacon acted his ass off in this scene, because he was like, this is a... He kept shooting him in that same arm, too. He just kept shooting him in that same spot. He, like, shot him there twice, where... And then he's just like, this isn't about fucking good or evil. What are you, a moron? This is about your wife picking me because I'm fucking... And...
Yeah.
He lost spin his shit, and then Rainn Wilson just looked at him and said... Shut up, crime.
And he uses a projectile right into Kevin Bacon's dick.
Oh, dude, did you see that shit? I said, oh, dude. Oh. And then he just passes out. He's like, oh, fucking dick. And then he's like, so what are you going to do? She's going to fucking murder me? You think you're better than me or whatever? He's like, you go around beating people with a fucking wrench half to death or whatever. He's like, you do that for butting in line. He's like, you don't butt in line. You don't sell drugs to kids. You don't molest children. These are the rules.
Then he just, oh, God.
That's the best ever.
That was like a very powerful scene for Wilson.
I know, that was a powerful speech in this movie, though. I was just like, what? Where did that come from?
Well, he pretty much, it's everything you do wrong. That's what I think he was getting at. And obviously.
Yeah, it was between him and Kevin Bacon, it was just delivered so good that I like wasn't expecting that or whatever. I was just like, wow, that makes a, that's a great, and then he was like, so what are you going to do? You're just going to leave me here and stab me to death? He was like, that's not going to change the world. He was like, I won't know unless I try. And he just starts stabbing the dude, and you just hear Bacon screaming in the bedroom, no! I was like, wow, that was amazing. Ah, James Gunn, you really are a genius for that shot right there.
Yeah, and then he just stabs him to death.
He stabs him to death, just picks his wife up and leaves.
Yeah, I mean, puts her... She's drugged out.
Mm-hmm.
He puts her in the car, and then he grabs Libby and puts her in the back seat. I'm like, what are you going to do with her?
He stuck her in the trunk, probably going to go put her in a tub, use her body for, you know, the body's still fresh for 24 hours.
There we go again.
I mean, what do you think I would do? I mean, you know, I just got to leave it there, you know.
You would do it, you would... Get on her after you see her head blown off. You'd be like, all right, another hole.
Well, yeah, that too. But still, I'm just saying, I'm not going to leave it there. I'm not going to put it to use. It's a waste, man. Come on. And plus, it's got a Crimson Bolt identity all over it. So, you know, I'm saving it too, you know?
Saving myself. Yeah, okay. But then we find out that she leaves.
Saying his wife left him.
After like a month? Was it a month or a few months?
He said a couple of months later.
And he says she only stayed because she felt like she had to. I'm like, fuck what?
Yeah, he said that, I guess she stayed because she was obligated to stay or whatever because of what he's done for her and shit like that. But he's like, and then he gave this, like, speech where he's just like, well, maybe God, the touch of God wasn't because he wanted me to help people. It was because Sarah needed to help people. She was a girl. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, she gets married. She gets remarried, has, like, four kids, and they call him Uncle Frank, and I'm like, oh.
Ain't that a bitch, whatever. She gets her degree, gets married, has four kids. She even helps out now with at the AA meetings and shit mm-hmm. like that. Like, she gives speeches to them and shit now, whatever, and stuff. Sits there, ending crying with a rabbit in his hand.
Yeah, and he's staring at Libby's picture and crying. The rabbit's like all over him, and I think he either regrets that she died or he really had feelings for her.
He was staring at all the fields. Don't just say it was Libby.
But it looked like he was crying about Libby's because they kept showing it.
They only showed it twice. There was two different ones. There was photos all over that whole wall. He had like two photos of Libby on there. The last shot of the photo he looked at was him with the rabbit on top of his head.
Yeah. So I think
he didn't show any of them, and then a single tear falls from him. So it wasn't for Libby.
I think he should have just like stayed with Libby and fuck Sarah, you know. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say if you would just stayed alive, he should just fuck Sarah. She's a druggie and shit. I mean, granted, Libby's a sociopath, but you know.
But I just would have stayed with Ellen Page. I'm like, fuck Liv Tyler.
I'm about to say Ellen Page or Liv Tyler. Pick now, go.
Ellen Page.
Yeah, after seeing this movie, definitely Ellen Page.
I mean, Liv Tyler looks like she's drugged up regardless, but she even looked like that in Armageddon and Lord of the Rings. She looks like she's drugged up.
She always looks drugged up. Those eyes look like it's told a story.
She's going to look like her dad in a few years, and that's not a compliment. That's not a compliment.
You say it all calm, too. Just like, yeah, she's going to look like her dad. He's like, I know this. I know this for a fact. She's going to look like him.
But do you agree that she's going to look like her dad?
I don't know, man. Because you know what? I would still fuck her. If I can't get Ellen Page, I will try to live Tyler in it.
Fuck it. We'll probably fucking break Ellen Page in half because she's so small.
Well, I don't mind doing that or whatever. I'd break another hole in that eye. She'll be looking like Forrest Whitaker after I'm done with it.
Oh, that's so wrong on all levels.
Yeah, so what would you give it, Z?
I would give it a small large. Okay. This was a really fun, dark as hell movie.
You've never seen it before, right?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, okay.
This was a dark as hell movie. I mean, the comedy, it's actually there's very funny parts. Acting was top notch. They were all awesome. I mean, for a low budget. But I really would recommend seeing this movie at least once. I mean, if you're a diehard comic book fan, you're probably not going to like it because you'll probably think it's an insult to comic books.
I don't think people have been saying that at all.
No, if you are, like, if...
Comic fans are saying they liked it a lot. They say they like it a lot more than a lot of the comic book films, actually.
Well, some comic book films, yeah. I mean, Punisher, stuff like that, yeah. This is Punisher. Huh?
A lot of people said it's better than some of the bigger budget ones, too, as well. Not just Punisher.
Spider-Man 3?
Yeah, so a lot of people saying it ain't an insult or whatever.
I don't think it's an insult. I mean, it's in the middle of the road. You're going to like it or you're not.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, it was okay. You're going to like this movie, you're not going to like it.
I would love to see one of those women that protest against Kick-Ass or whatever say they like this movie. I'd be like, the violence is the same, though.
I think the violence is more deep in this one.
Yeah, the violence is worse, whatever. It's like, I mean, Ellen Page is damn near a teenager as well, doing the same shit that, what's her name was doing, whatever. Yeah, but she never said cunt. Yeah, she did!
And she raped somebody.
She ran somebody over and said, now your fucking legs are gone. Look at you now. So.
And she raped someone, and she has this really creepy laugh when she's shredding that guy up.
Yeah, I would love to show that to those mothers that tried to ban Kick-Ass and shit, see if they enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, but whatever. But I think it's a very large. I think it's a small, low large.
Okay, I give it a C. I enjoyed this film a lot. Or whatever. It's nice to see little smaller comic book type films like that or whatever, superhero films or whatever. It was really entertaining. Kevin Bacon. This movie actually brought me back to liking Kevin Bacon again. Now when I see him, I just go like, oh, Kevin Bacon's in it. It's going to be awesome. He's going to be hamming it up or whatever he's going to be doing. Rainn Wilson did a great job. Ellen Page, I've never seen this range out of her. I mean, I was shocked when I saw it. I was like, let me look this up again. That can't be Ellen Page or whatever. I was like, I've never seen her so action-y like this in a movie before. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I give it a see it.
Full of straight see it, large see it? What?
Yeah, straight see it. I don't know. What the fuck is a large see it?
I don't know. You've been saying that. You've been saying a low see it and all that shit.
I haven't said that on this show.
Okay.
Yeah, so what the fuck? Your fucking show's right, man. Jesus Christ. Get you some sleep or something, man.
Yeah, I need it. So, yeah, is this one of your favorite? Where'd you rank this on comic book movies?
Well, it's not a comic book movie.
Superhero movies, then.
God damn it, so many. It'd probably be in my top 15.
Yeah, me too. I'll say anywhere from 15 to 10.
I can't jump off 10 on the top of my head right now, but it would somewhere be in the top 10, 15, somewhere around there, whatever.
I mean, it's actually a very strong movie, too. I mean, like you said, Kevin... The actors hold the movie together.
They really do. I mean, actors...
I wish Kevin Bacon had more scenes, though.
I've said it before, I'll say it again, man. Actors can take a movie a long way.
Exactly. We said on here that Denzel Washington carried Remember the Titans the whole way.
Yeah, exactly. That movie could be hit or miss without Denzel. So.
And thankfully, James Gunn got Kevin Bacon in at the last minute to take over the role, because Bacon was amazing, and I wish he had more time as the character.
To see what the other guy would have did with this.
Oh, probably horrible.
Everybody else was good in it. I don't know. I'm serious. What would he would have did? Would he would have been like as jokey as Kevin Bacon, or would he try to play it serious or what?
I don't know. I think Kevin Bacon, when he does villains, he tries to be a different type of villain.
He looks like he's always a charming villain.
He is. You can't hate him. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in First Class, I really didn't hate him that much. I kind of like hated Emma Frost more than Kevin Bacon.
Only thing I hate about him in First Class, whatever, is that I wanted my boy Fassbender to kill him. I was like, sorry, Bacon. Fassbender trumps you 20 times over for me. And the way he died, too, by sitting in that corner, I was just like, yeah, that's the best way to go out. That's like, man, talk about getting your revenge. That's like the ultimate revenge right there. How many years in the past since you was playing around with that quarter, Fassbender? Like, I had to be like 20-something at least or whatever. You was a fucking, like, little boy. So, yeah, that's a badass way to go out. I mean, well, to take somebody out.
Yeah.
Damn, man, how long has he had that fucking quarter then for? Now you got me...
Oh, Jesus Christ. Fuck, man. That's a thinker right there.
Yeah, damn, man. You probably been staring at this fucking quarter through the fucking skull of his head. You wait and see. Xavier's like, just let it go. Just let it go. No, I'm not putting this quarter in a vending machine at all. No. You ready to get in some comments now?
Yes.
All right. First one we got here is... from our Labyrinth review, of course, last episode, Roland Winchell, he says, I agree with everything you say, P1, and yet, it fucking shocked the hell out of me.
It shocked the hell out of me.
Shocked the hell out of everybody. Hey, that's what I do. I shock people.
You bring the hits and you bring the shock.
I bring the shock value, yeah. I actually kind of laughed when you threw that rating down, because you can kind of see it coming, but yet you don't.
I didn't know. I thought you were going straight stream it. Or a low stream it.
Do you hate all fantasy films, P1? Or is this a new hate for a genre you just realized? When did I realize this? It might have been last year or early this year. It might have been after Hobbit came out last year or whatever. When I looked at it and was just like, you know what? I'm trying. Lord of the Rings has been one of those things, even with The Hobbit, because I count that as Lord of the Rings. Well, that is one series I seriously have been trying, because I know everybody just loves it or whatever. They say, oh, the story's so great and everything. I literally sit up there, and you can't count how many times I've tried to sit there and watch it and just try to like it like everybody else does or whatever. And it is just one thing I cannot fucking get into. I just can't. No matter how many times I try to sit there and watch, I just can't. Like, the next one that's coming out, I want to get into it, but I just got my RSVP for my screener coming up for it.
Uh-huh.
And it has all the details on it, and the first thing it says is 3 hours and 5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, my God. I never even seen The Hobbit, and I heard it's really boring.
Yeah. It is.
Well, like, kind of like the first Lord of the Rings. That one's boring.
Yeah, it really is. That's why I walked out.
And you're all. It's only going to lead you to the dragon. I guess that's the whole main thing. It's just going to lead you to the dragon.
Yeah, and I would assume they lead you to the dragon, and the screen cuts off, and the third film will show you the thing between
the dragons. Yeah. I mean, the previews, this shows the Hobbit with the dragon and the Scrooge McDuck coin pile. Mm-hmm. But who knows? I mean, I never seen it. I mean, I'm...
For fucking 3 hours long, the dragon better have a fight. I mean, Smaug and them better have a fight scene with her. I'm like, three... Okay, Peter Jackson, you pushing it now. 3 hours, man. Come on, man.
I don't think a Lord of the Ring movie was even 3 hours.
I don't... The last one was like, what, 240? 230?
Around there. A movie should not be 3 hours.
No, especially when it's a trilogy.
That's two movies. And they're going to probably break the third one up in two movies.
Oh, my fucking God. Like, because I was telling them... It's like, I don't hate Lord of the Rings. I just, once again, I try to get into it all the time, or even The Hobbit or whatever. But last year, it was just so fucking boring, man. And then at the end of the film, they finally had their wizard use, like, Gandalf use, like, birds to fly to somewhere. I was just like, why didn't they just do this in the movie at the beginning? And then the second one, I was like, all right, well, the second one's not out yet, but I'm going to give it a chance. I'll check it out, whatever. And then I got that RSVP for my screener last night, and I saw the details, and I was like, 3 hours.
You gotta clear your whole day for that shit.
Thank you. Yes, a fucking thank God. I mean, damn, dude. I was like, they better be doing some pretty interesting shit in this movie. It better not just be walking all day and just meeting shit or whatever. I said they better be doing some shit that blows my fucking mind. And they better fucking change that frames per second shit that they had in that last film, because I'm sorry, but that shit films, because it makes shit look like a TV film.
Yeah. All the Lord of the Rings, it looks like they were shortly under 3 hours.
You looked it up?
Yeah. Yeah. The Return of the King was 201 minutes. So that's a long time.
Yeah.
And you feel in those movies. Two Towers, because that's my favorite one. The action scene's so awesome, it kind of just the time escapes you. But when I watched Hunger Games yesterday, because that's a fantasy too, I felt that time. Uh-huh. And that's something that's bad in movies, if it's so long that you can feel how long it is and you keep checking.
It's 2 hours and 36 minutes or 26 minutes.
Yeah, it is. Movies should not be that long.
I don't know, man. To answer your question, do I hate all fantasy films? No. I mean, I like Harry. It's just, yeah. I don't like all of them. I can only like some or whatever. I mean, 8 films, obviously, Harry Potter. They've had time to build up people and stuff like that in worlds or whatever. But, you know, Lord of the Rings, it's just boring to me. Star Wars, I don't find anything interesting about it.
And the only thing you liked in Avatar, I think you said, was the CG.
CG and special effects or whatever, and the 3D use of the cameras and shit like that. I mean, James Cameron is... I gotta give him all the respect and credit in the world, whatever, for inventing a technology like he did or whatever, and it's like, wow, it's amazing. So, I mean, no, I can't give that man any shit at all, or especially when you got two of the highest grossing films in the top 5 of all time. So,
yeah, you can't discredit what Cameron's done, but he does make some boring ass movies.
Yeah, he does, whatever, but at the same time, I still have respect for him as a
well, I mean, what's really considered a fantasy movie? Did we discuss that, like, what's considered a fantasy movie? Shouldn't everything, Jurassic Park should be a fantasy movie?
Pretty much, most sci-fi movies can be fantasy film, but if you really want to get down to the basics of, because, like, sometimes they split up the genres, like an action comedy, how they do that shit, whatever. But
yeah, it's a subgenre.
Yeah, so if you want to go to what's exactly fantasy, then, you know, you got your Hobbit, your Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, of course, Labyrinth is another one or whatever, you know. I mean, when you talk about subgenres, I guess that's like Hunger Games. That's like that could be an action fantasy shit like that, whatever. So, I mean, it's not so much, you know. So, but if you want to go straight fantasies, Lord of the Rings, they say Lord of the Rings is the ultimate fantasy film, whatever. It is the best fantasy film, whatever. And I'm going like, yeah, I don't like it at all.
I would say Harry Potter, but whatever.
I like how you say that. Whatever.
Because Harry Potter, like, 8 movies and it still kept you interested? Yeah, that's doing something.
Got better as it went along, too.
It did.
That last one was so good, too.
And Hermione got hotter.
Yeah, I still think she got hotter.
She got hotter as the series progressed. Yeah, and that's exactly, something you don't see in these Lord of the Rings or Hobbit bullshit. I mean, Angelina Lilly, I guess, has a big role in this one. And she's hot.
God, they, I know your boy keeps asking me about that fucking trailer or whatever. Well, you know, hey, you want my thoughts on that trailer? Now finding out it's 3 hours long, that trailer is shit now.
Because that covers 2 minutes of that 3 hours.
Exactly. You know? What the fuck are they going to be doing in that 3 hours? How long does it take to
there get better be a, there better be a sex scene in there. Lego at least better, nah, get some.
It better, like, fucking just blows my mind or whatever. If it's the same shit with the same frames per second as the last film, man, I'm sorry, but that movie might be getting a fucking for me. That last one got a stream.
It might get a fucking before the first hour is over with.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's going to give me I better bring a pillow because I'm going to have a nice nap in that motherfucking thing.
Have you ever seen anybody, since you've been to screeners, have you ever seen anybody walk out of a screener?
Yeah. Oh, please. Please. I've walked out sometimes. What was the last one I would say somebody walked out of?
Movie 43.
Fortunately, they didn't give us a screen for that.
Oh, that's right. They didn't give it to credits.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why. By the way, people, Movie 43 and Inappropriate Comedy is now on Netflix if you want to watch
it. That's not even released on DVD.
I know, it's not.
No, it's not. When I went to the video store, it was not there. Then I saw it on Netflix. I'm like, what the fuck?
Movie 43 is on DVD.
It is, but Inappropriate Comedy is not.
I want to say it did come out.
If it did, it never got announced.
It never got, yeah, of course. Oh, well, shit.
I think, you know, it made like $10.
Yeah, it made like $10 for me.
You're the only one that's seen it.
Oh, did I ever tell you about that? My funny, inappropriate, I think I said it in my review, whatever, but the guy, when I asked him, because I just had him a screener for it, obviously, don't know why again, but the guy, when I said, a crowded line, two people going out to see me, I forgot what movie it was, it might have been Evil Dead at the time, or the Oz movie. I can't remember. I think it was the Oz movie. And the guy, the lines crowd, everybody's asking for that Oz movie and shit like that. And I go up to like a jackass. One for Inappropriate Comedy. I'm sorry, what'd you say? Inappropriate Comedy.
We don't even have that theater cleaned.
He's like, oh, I'm with that movie in the past 2 days now. So, hey, Jack. Some guys here, you want to see Inappropriate Comedy, or you can get the projector up. I was like, oh, fuck.
He made them do extra work. They have everything set up for every movie, and then they got like, oh, fuck, that means we had to clean a theater.
I had to go all the way I go to this theater a lot. I had to go all the way in the back of the room. I was like, I didn't even know there was a room back here.
Was it a one-seat theater?
I was nervous when I was walking down there, because, like, you start passing all these giant-ass movie posters and shit, and, like, it gets darker as you get down there, and he's just looking like, oh, shit.
I just looked. Inappropriate County is released on December 31st. And Amazon, you can pre-order for $8.49.
You pre-order that?
That is pretty bad when you can pre-order for $8.49.
Yeah, oh, wow. And, man, there was nobody that came to that theater. Everything started shaking and shit, but I was like, really, am I going to go complain about this? Really. Some jackass mother brought her kid in there, too. I was just like, what the fuck? Whatever. Next comment here. Comes from Cynthia. She said, nothing but the best wishes for that fellow spoiling bastard. That was a great start, phenomenal one. Can't say you don't care about your fans. It was real classy of you guys to dedicate this episode to her. All the podcasts I listen to, I have never heard a host dedicate a show to an ill fan of theirs. It was just a real admirable move. Didn't really care for the movie as much, but you guys made the review entertaining. In today's world of CG, would you guys want to see more puppeteers in films?
It won't work.
Thank you for that lovely comment, first of all, Cynthia. Yes, we are the only first podcast to ever do that.
And we're going to be the only podcast to only do that. We take time for our fans.
Why is somebody going to send us links to all these
to prove us wrong?
Yeah, exactly, whatever, because, you know, me and Z don't listen to every podcast in the world, because how the fuck would we have time for that?
No. Jesus Christ.
Podcasts, dude. I mean, shit.
To answer your question, no, it would not work.
I wouldn't want to see that, personally.
Because it wouldn't work. I mean, the only thing that we see is the Muppets movie.
Yeah, I don't even like that, so.
I don't remember even seeing the, I don't even remember seeing it. Yeah. But you gotta think.
The story. That's why.
You gotta think. CG is what is in now. CG, unless the next great thing, who knows what that would be, will
it's
come.
It's easier, too.
Yeah, because you don't have to hire puppeteers and all that stuff. I mean, Frank Oz is dead, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is.
And the only big puppeteer that people know is the guy that did Elmo, who's probably going to jail for raping little kids. But puppeteers,
Elmo never raped those kids, just his black
it's when you pause, I'm like, I had a thought. I'm like, he's gonna pull the Elmo voice.
Elmo wants to fuck you. Elmo fucks you now, Z. Elmo, bend over. Don't fucking touch me, nigger.
That's kind of like a Mickey Mouse Elmo voice.
I want to say, what was the guy that was in the last Muppets movie? Was Jason Segel, is it?
Yeah, from How I Met Your Mother.
I want to say, he is into puppeteering.
I think he paid for that movie.
You know what? I think he did. I want to say he helped put his. I think he put some of his own money into that movie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I guess he's a huge Muppet fan.
Yeah, he is.
Even though he's not coming back for the sequel.
Because remember, in like two of his previous movies, he did puppet scenes too, as well.
Yeah, and he and, yeah, and Forgetting Sarah
Like Sarah
Marshall.
Marshall.
He does that puppet
Yeah.
thing. Go, but he's not even in the sequel, so maybe he's like, I did my Muppets movie, you know? Because back in the day, Muppet movies were. If you were a Hollywood star and you're in that, you know you made it.
Yeah, there was all kinds. They used to have all kind of cameo stars in there as well, too. I mean, you think of the big names that we know now today, most likely they starred in a Muppet movie as their first.
Yeah, and then today it's like if you know you made it, because Muppets are iconic.
I saw the trailer for the new Muppets movie, and I liked it 10 times better than the first one. I don't know, maybe it was because Jason Segel and this new Muppet they tried to introduce was in it, but in the sequel, it looked more of a Muppet film than
Oh,
anything.
I didn't even know he was coming back for a sequel.
I didn't see him in the sequel, so I mean, at least in the trailer or whatever, so I don't think he's coming back, but
No,
I
it's
don't know.
Ricky Gervais, Ty Burrell, and Tina Fey.
Yeah, Ty Burrell's in there. Love Ty Burrell.
Huge cameos. So
Yeah, but it looked like it was mainly focusing on the Muppets this time, more than
okay.
it was on Jason Segel, so that's what I liked about the trailer more than the first one. So hopefully, fingers crossed on that one a bit. But once again, no, I would prefer CG to be honest.
Yeah, CG.
I mean, we had some CG that looked like shit, and then we had some that looked like gold, but sometimes that's just based on budget.
Yeah, and yeah, CG based on the fact that puppeteers might look too kiddish. When CG, you can make anything CG and it look amazing.
What would you want to see as a puppeteer too? Just think about that. Like what like it would have to be a PG film or like a kid
It
film or
would
whatever
have to
because
be.
yeah, we imagine seeing a rated R puppeteer film. Like what the fuck?
Yeah, it's gotta be. I mean, look at some of the movies. Would you like to see a superhero puppeteer? No. Horror movie puppet? No. Comedy? No. Well, it's gotta be gonna be a con. It's always gonna be a kids movie.
Yeah. The only way I would want to see that if it was rated R comedy movie is if the guys that made South Park did it.
Which I'm kind of surprised they haven't.
Yeah, I mean they did one with that Team American movie, but that wasn't puppeteering, so it was.
Which was cool, which was funny. So that was, I think that was the last one besides Muppets, right? But that wasn't aimed at kids.
No, wasn't at
No,
all.
that movie was not aimed at
Yes.
kids
Never
one
mind.
bit.
That's never mind then. But no, I prefer CG.
Yeah, CG. CG all the way.
Yeah. Jefferson McNeil, he says, my favorite part of this whole site and any of the shows is that they are entertaining and informative in reviews. Do you guys think it's better to be one over the other? And if so, what would you prefer? Entertainment value or being more straightforward and informative? Keep up the awesome work, guys. Love the site.
I don't understand this
I
question.
prefer entertainment.
I'm reading the thing. Is this question, what do we prefer, entertainment value or being straight to the point?
Yeah, so he's saying that
So that means entertainment value or
he's saying his
story.
favorite part of the whole site and every show on here is that it's entertaining and informative. But if we had to pick, which one would we try to be more informative or more entertaining? And I would pick entertaining.
It's got to be a little mixture of both.
I'd prefer to be entertaining. If you can make people laugh, they wouldn't give a shit what you're saying.
It's true, but I well, it's okay. I'll go with entertaining, but
Yeah, because I'm gonna say most of your facts ain't even right half the time. So
fuck off.
it's like, When you're informative and you, if you're trying to be straight and informative and shit, your facts need to be dead on point or whatever. Like, so at least if you're being entertaining and you're being providing information or whatever, at least you can be like, well, I was bullshit. I'm not trying to be straight and informative.
It's, you got to have entertaining because, like
shit changes.
Yeah, you got to be entertaining because if you're not entertaining, people will shut you off.
Yeah, you can be informative all you want, but if you're fucking boring or whatever, nobody's gonna listen to your ass.
Yeah, so I mean, you can be serious and all, but how does that make an entertaining podcast?
Exactly, whatever. I mean, there's lots of shit that I was recently just listening to. Just, I was just checking out new podcasts and shit or whatever for video games and stuff like that, and I was listening to them. I was like, these guys know their shit, but I'm gonna have to cut this off now because, man, they're just like, it sounds like just they're just reading shit off of the internet.
Yeah, and we're not, we don't do that. We actually watch the movies.
Yeah,
we go to back prefer, to the internet.
Actually, what I've done with this, I prefer to be more entertaining than I do informative, to be honest. I mean, most of the shit is, like he said, it's a mixture of both, but if I had to pick one of what to be more, it'd definitely be more entertaining than informative or whatever. I'm not a fucking news site. If you want that, then go to fucking enews.com, man.
Yeah, entertainment value. I mean, it's a, I mean, you can say 80-20 for entertainment value and then straightforward.
But. Yeah. Next comment comes from Lily. She says, that was a, damn, I haven't heard that name in years.
No.
Lily. She's white. Anyway. That was a real classy move dedicating this show to your fan. I don't think I've ever heard a site do that, at least in public, on the site. Seeing how you guys are going the superhero route on the next Throwback Tuesday, what is your favorite superhero film not being related to a comic? Mine is Chronicle.
You consider that a superhero?
It's a superhero, yeah.
It's hard.
There's a couple of them out there, actually, too.
That's a actually a really hard question. I would say Super.
Okay. I was going to say, just go on top of the head. You know.
I would say Super.
Yeah.
Super, I mean, movie. Kick-Ass is based on a comic. I like Sin City. Yeah. That's based on a graphic novel. Same thing as a comic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Kick-Ass comic, you know.
It's funny because most shit like that or whatever, like a Sin City or something like that, if it wasn't based on a graphic novel or a book or whatever, most likely after that movie came out, they would have started making books on it.
Mm-hmm. It was bound to happen. So, yeah, I'm going to go Super.
Okay. That definitely is a trend now. If it isn't based off a book or anything like that, whatever, they will revamp that motherfucker into a book if the movie comes out and they find out that people like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I want to say they did that with what's his name, Buffy.
Yeah, that was a that is a comic after the TV show. They
yeah, it was a comic after the.
Yeah, they kept the universe going.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, but I mean, Supers, I mean, has there ever been like a movie and then they turned into a comic afterwards?
I know there's a couple. I can't think of them on the top of my head because I have had this question before last year. And I know some that the comics got better after the movie came out. Like, it wasn't a known book or whatever, and the book got well known after the movie came out.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of one right now that wasn't a book and they made one. They even did that with Inception as well.
They did what?
Made a comic book out of it.
Did they really?
Yeah, they made prequels for the movie.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was a prequel of how pretty much everyone met and everything, like how they knew each other. It was like three books.
Oh, okay. That sounds really, really cool.
Dude, I ain't gonna lie.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it was actually. Yeah, it was real cool seeing everything, how it came together and everything. As far as on book wise, whatever, I actually enjoyed that one. God, I'm trying to remember one. I can't remember one on top of my head though, so I can't remember which one became a book afterwards. Last comment I'm gonna read here comes from Andrew. He says, "This always baffles me, and I know you've answered this question before, but exactly how many films do you see a week, TPO?"
I'm gonna say he sees about five.
About You know, it's funny, Eric and Kyle asked me the same fucking question last night.
Eric and Kyle?
Yeah, Kyle Brown, Eric Hamilton.
They came to your thing?
Yeah, they all came down there too, whatever. They asked me the same fucking question. That was like the first question they asked. Matter of fact, that's the first question they asked.
That's awesome. Did you have an answer?
About six. Yeah, I told him it was about six or seven.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Earlier it wasn't six or seven, but now since it's getting to like Oscar films, whatever, you know, I get screeners for like the limited ones, whatever. So now it's about six or seven now.
And this is you're going to the theater different days. This ain't, you know, sitting at home watching Netflix type thing.
Actually, I want to say Alex asked me that last night after they asked me that question. He said, "So do you see this all in one or something like that?" Or I was just like, mainly different days. I was like, today I have to go see Frozen, and then I saw Homefront last week or whatever, and so I got to go see Old Boy tomorrow. So I'm like, yeah, it's like scattered, fucked everywhere, whatever. So like, I mean, you know, sometimes there's two showing. Like last week was the week before last, whatever. I had Hunger Games and Delivery Man playing at the same time, whatever. I was just like, why the fuck would they send me that then? So obviously, you know, I went well when it comes out, so might as well get that one done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's about six or seven. I mean, the six or seven comes from Throwback Tuesday, watching the film here.
Yeah, and some of them you've already seen a lot. So.
Yeah, and mainly, something like Super or whatever. Like, I didn't have to, because obviously I was running around yesterday getting this fucking party shit together or whatever and stuff, whatever, and the whole Long Beach Comic Con thing and stuff. I didn't have to see Super, because I already know it or whatever, but I watched it, really late last night when I was eating a fucking turkey burger, dude, and I was fucking just hungover. I wouldn't say hungover, but I was just like,
Yeah, when we pick the movies, and if you haven't seen them, yeah, you in a while, you definitely have to see them to,
Yeah, but I watched it out of more of enjoyment than I did, because I already remember Super. I didn't have to rewatch it. I watched it more of enjoyment than I wanted to watch it.
Mm-hmm. I had to watch it. You know, I'd never seen it before, so I had to watch it.
Yeah. I watched it out of enjoyment and out of the fact. So let me watch it again.
Mm.
Yeah. So
you see a lot of movies.
Yeah, a lot of fucking movies. My brain is clusterfucked on movies. Oh yeah, Eric, it was Eric. He asked me again. He was just like, "When do you have a day off?" I said, "On." Damn, you make my life sound so hard.
Let's see, Christmas or Thanksgiving, you might have a day off.
Yeah, I have Thanksgiving off. I mean, granted, I got four reviews to bust out that day, but, you know, but, yeah, I'll have a Thanksgiving week or whatever and shit, but, you never have a day off. That's when. I told him, I got a site to run. I don't have a day off.
Exactly.
I don't have any days off or anything. I don't get breaks or whatever. If I get a break, then I start worrying. Something's wrong here. Right, Xbox? Xbox complies.
Xbox complies.
Well, that bitch should be talking back to me. That's the only problem with this goddamn thing. It doesn't talk back.
That's good. That's a good bitch.
You know what? I don't want it to talk back. Then motherfucker might start getting legs and start walking up. I'm not taking any more of your shit, phenomenal one.
Yeah, who knows what Microsoft tied into that thing.
Yeah, the next you know, the Terminator comes out of the Xbox or whatever and shit. Next you know, it just starts killing people. So never mind. Then it's probably a good thing it doesn't talk back.
It's a good thing.
Well, people. Has been another episode of Throwback Tuesday here. Episode 26, of course. I'm the phenomenal one. WeSportsPodcast.com.
This is Z, thefancritic.com, and I'd also like to announce a very exclusive podcast for thefancritic.com, the Fan Court, which will be up this Friday.
I like how you wait till the last minute to announce that. It's like you couldn't announce that at the beginning of the show.
Well, the first episode was recorded yesterday, and we did Skyfall.
Okay.
It's right. Me against it. And Sean for it.
Alright, you got any more fucking announcements before I want to get out of here?
Nope.
Nope, that's it then. Alright then. Later, everybody. Later, bastards.
See ya, bastards. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving, all you bastards out there, too.
Yeah, don't choke on the wishbone.
Choke on this bone.
Too cool.